Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the bottom of Daf Chof Dalid Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Before we begin the actual text, let's glance at the side where we have some notes that should be helpful. The first note at the bottom part of Chof Dalid Amud Beis, Noisei Mivneh, we have a topic heading combined with a mivneh is a structural note. The nosei is the topic. And you'll notice a bow tie shape. This appears in our Mishnah. And it's used to highlight shnei maisim, two incidents. Shebohem Rabban Gamliel kibel edus mifukpekes bekiddush ha-chodesh. We will see two incidents where Rabban Gamliel, who was the head of the court, who was charged with declaring a new month, that he accepted, we'll call it questionable type testimony of the witnesses that claim to have seen the new lunar phase through which we then establish a new month. And he, Rabban Gamliel, accepted this testimony b'nigud l'datom shel achirim, contrary to the thinking of others that were present at the court. Now the Gemara. We're at the Mishnah at the bottom of Chof Dalam Abayz. Maise Shebo Shnayim V'Omru, an incident having two that came, two witnesses that came, and they said, Ro'inuhu Shachris B'Mizrach. We continue at the top of Chof Hamad Aleph, V'Arvis B'Marov. There are two pshatim in Rashi, two approaches in how to learn this particular Mishnah, but one of the approaches, the second approach, says that we saw the new phase of the moon in the morning in the east, and we're talking about the point at which we're about to usher in a new month. So we saw it in the morning in the east, and in the arvis, in the evening in the west. So that in the course of 12 hours, these witnesses are claiming the new lunar phase was visible in the course of 12 hours in two opposite directions. One first in the morning in the east, and then the evening in the west. Our Mishnah continues. Omar Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, we call him number one, he's the first of two approaches. He says, Eide Sheker Heim, these are liars. In other words, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, the moon cannot travel from the eastern hemisphere to the western hemisphere in the span of 12 hours at the beginning of its lunar cycle. Kishibo liYavne, when they came to Yavne, Kiblon, Yavne is the name of a place, it's one of the locations that the Sanhedrin served in, and Rabban Gamliel accepted them. V'oid, another incident, Bo'u Shnayim, V'omru, Ro'inuhu Bizmanoi, two witnesses came and they said that we saw the new lunar phase on day 30. Day 30 represents we call it the swing day, the day that after 29 days, which is the minimum number of days of a lunar month, the next day we call day 30, if witnesses come and say that they saw the new lunar phase on that day, and the court accepts them and declares the month to be Mekudosh, sanctified, that is it. That becomes day 1. Day 30 converts into day 1. So these witnesses are telling us that they saw the new lunar phase on day 30. Ubalel Iburo. Leil Iburo is an expression referring to the night leading into the next day 31. Day 31 is called such because if the previous month was a 30-day month, which happens, the next day, for counting purposes, is referred to as day 31, even though there really is no such thing as an actual day 31. It's just a convenient way of referring to that next day. In effect, if the previous month is a 30-day month, day 31 becomes the real day 1 of the new month. So these witnesses are telling us that they saw the new lunar phase on day 30, and then the next day they didn't see the moon anymore. The Kiblon Rabbon Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel accepted them. Omar Rabbi Doisa ben Hurkinus. Rabbi Doisa reacts to this, to Rabbi Gamliel's acceptance, and says, how can you accept them? Eidei Shekerheim. These are liars. Heich Me'idim, and now the Mishnah uses an analogy. It says, how can you have people that come to testify, Allah Isha Shiyolda, they testify about a particular woman as having given birth, Ulamachar Kresa Bein Shina, and the next day her pregnant belly is present. There's the literal translation is of no meaning for us right now, other than saying the next day that very same lady comes and she's pregnant. Pregnant with a full-term pregnancy, or you know, a pregnant belly. Being that is that's Rabbi Doza's opinion that these are liars. So then the month that was just celebrated or just experienced should be extended by a day, and we shouldn't accept these witnesses. Omar lo Rabbi Yeshua, Roya ani es devorecha. And Rabbi Yeshua comes and says, I approve of what you are saying, of what Rabbi Dosa is saying, that the month should be extended. And if let's make it practical as far as the continuation of the Mishnah is concerned. Rabbi Yeshua is saying that instead of the month of Elul being a 29-day month, the month of Elul should be a 30-day month. And that would then push off the holidays of Tishrei by a day. Now, as far as Rabbi Gamliel is concerned, he accepted these witnesses, so that Elul would be a 29-day month. The next day was the first day, which is called Rosh Hashanah, it's the first day of Tishrei, and 10 days later, counting inclusively from Rosh Hashanah as day 1, 10 days later would be Yom Kippur. So as far as Rabban Gamliel is concerned, Rabbi Gamliel will have Yom Kippur coming out on the 10th of Tishrei, 10 days after after he accepted these witnesses. Sholach lo Rabban Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel sends a message to Rabbi Yoshua. Gozrani olecho, I rule upon you. Shetavoi etzli b'makelcho uv'mo'isecho b'yom ha-kipurim. I rule that on the Yom Kippur, according to your cheshbon, according to your calculation, I want you to come to me with your walking stick and money on that day that you are planning to observe as Yom Kippur. In other words, according to Rabbi Yoshua, Yom Kippur would be, in effect, one day later. It would be on what Rabbi Gamliel considers the 11th of Tishrei. But Rabbi Yeshua said, no, Elul has to continue an extra day, so it comes out on my idea of 10th of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. Holach umotzoi Rabbi Akiva meitzar. So Rabbi Akiva went and found Rabbi Yeshua, and he was upset. We're using the pronoun he was upset. The Gemara will be asking who was upset. But we see Rabbi Akiva meeting up with Rabbi Yoshua, Omar Lo, and Rabbi Akiva speaks up. Yesh li lumoid shekoma she'osa Rabbi Gamliel osui. I have a teaching that proves that whatever Rabbi Gamliel did, that is what is binding. Now, we have to be very careful over here and make a distinction between what might be termed absolute truth and that which is legally binding. The two are not necessarily one and the same, and we'll try to explain that as we go on. Shenemar. The fact is that Rabbi Gamliel was the head of the court, and he issued a ruling. His ruling is that which is binding. The pasuk says, "Eile moyade Hashem mikroi kodesh asher tikru oisom." And these are the holidays of Hashem that you shall proclaim. Bein bizmanon, bein sheloi bizmanon. It's a function of your proclaiming whether it's the actual time, the zmanam, or it's not the actual time. Even if it's not the actual, the real, the objective, correct time, doesn't matter. You proclaimed it, that's what's binding. Ein li moyadois elo elu. Which this drush is telling me that as far as Hashem is concerned, the holidays are observed only according to what you established, what the court established. So Rabbi Akiva is, you might say, is placating Rabbi Yeshua in the sense that even though, technically speaking, these were false witnesses, and I would agree with that, but Rabbi Amliel decided to accept them for whatever reason, and therefore, his decision being the head of the court is that which is binding, and this has God's approval, as the pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Chof Gimel, proves. Ba lo eitzel Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanes. Rabbi Yeshua visits with Rabbi Dosa. Omar lo, im boyin onu lodun achar beiz dino shel Rabbi Gamliel. He says to him that if we're going to start judging and questioning the rulings of Rabbi Gamliel and his court, then we're going to have to start questioning courts from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu till our very day. Shinemar, and the Mishnah will explain why. In other words, why if we start questioning Rabbi Gamliel, we're going to have to start questioning everybody. Shinemar, the pasuk says, "Vayal Moshe v'Aaron nodav aviu uveshivim mizikne Yisrael." We have this pasuk describing Moshe Aaron and his sons Nadav and Aviu, and 70 sages that constitute what we call Jewish leadership. V'lama lo nisparshu shmoisam shel zekenim. Rashi has a girsa, has a different version. He says lama lo nisparsamu. It's for our purposes one and the same. Nispars means become publicized. Public knowledge, and nisparshu means spelled out. But for our purposes, why does the Torah mention 70 sages and doesn't mention their names? The pasuk does mention the names of Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, Aviv, but it doesn't mention the other 70 sages. Elo lelamed, this teaches us shekol shloisha shloisha she'omdu based in Yisrael, that any time three people gather to serve as a tribunal, and in terms of how Jewish law, three people who sit together can, technically speaking, serve as judges, as far as their necessity of having some legal knowledge, we'll leave that aside, but three constituted a beis din. Harehu kebeis dino shel Moshe. Once three Jews get together to serve as a tribunal, they have the status of a Moshe Rabbeinu court. And how do we see that in this pasuk? Because just like the pasuk, it spells out the names Moshe and Aaron, it also mentions together with them 70 unnamed individuals. What level of learning, what level of expertise were those others on? We don't know. We don't know. They might have been rather common individuals, but they were together with Moshe Rabbeinu, so that even nowadays, any three that get together have the status of a tribunal. Rashi points out, more or less across from here, Shalom alone is parsimu shmoisam. Why were their names not publicized? Sheimbo adam lo dunachar beis din shebiyomov. If someone's going to come to question his contemporary court, Velomar, and say v'chi beis din zeh kemoshe v'aron keldenu meidad, is this beis din in my time like the likes of Moshe Aaron and the other two prominent individuals named Eldad and Medad? Omrim lo, so we tell him, if you the person comes to question, we tell him Shemo Choshuv U Kishloshim Min Ashar Shalom is Bashu Shmoisa. Maybe our court is like the three of the other 70 sages whose names were not spelled out, but we see that they were acceptable, even if they were rather common in their level of knowledge. Upon hearing this, Rabbi Yeshua accepts the ruling of Rav Gamliel. Nota maklu moiso biyodoi v'olach liyavne itz Rav Gamliel biyoyim shechal yom kippur m'dios b'cheshbono. Rabbi Yeshua took his maklu, his staff, his most of his cash, and he went to Yavne, to where Rav Gamliel was located, to Yavne, that was the town in which Rav Gamliel was located, on the day that Rabbi Yeshua had figured to be Yom Kippur. Omar Rabbi Gamliel v'noshkal Rosh Rabbi Gamliel arose and kissed Rabbi Yeshua on his head. Omar lo bo b'shalom Rabbi v'tamidi, come in peace, my teacher and my student. Rabbi b'chokhma, I acknowledge that your wisdom is greater than mine. V'tamidi, and you're considered my student, shikibato es devarai, that you accepted my words. In other words, you subordinated yourself to me with regard to my request to come on your Yom Kippur, in violation, meaning with this walking stick and the cash and the money. Tanya, Omar Lohem Rabbi Gamliel Lachachomim. Rabbi Gamliel says to the sages, at the beginning of our Mishnah, there was testimony that Rabbon Gamliel had accepted by witnesses who said they saw the new phase in the morning in the east and in the evening already in the west. Rabbon Gamliel says regarding that, Kach mikublani mibeis avi abo, thusly I have as a tradition from my grandfather, meaning from my predecessors, Pe'omim shebo ba'aruka, u'pe'omim shebo b'ktzara. Sometimes the moon takes a long route, and sometimes it takes a short route. So the fact that it seemed to cover so much of the sky in such a short amount of time is a possibility, is legitimate, as a per my tradition. Om Rabbi Yochanan, my taimo debay Rebbe, what is the reason for this teaching? Dichtiv, also yoreach lemoyadim, shemesh yoda mevoyoi. This is a posuk, and the posuk makes a distinction between the moon and the sun. Shemesh hu diyoda mevoyoi. The sun knows its path, meaning it has a consistent type of path. Yoreach lo yoda mevoo. The moon doesn't know its path. Of course, a reference to the inconsistency, if you will, of the moon's travels. So that sometimes the moon takes a short route and sometimes it takes a long route, accounting for the acceptance of the testimony that we saw described in the Mishnah. Rabbi Chiya Chazio L'Siara, Rabbi Chiya noticed the Siara, the moon, Dehavei Koi B'Tzafra De'Esrim V'Tisha. The old phase was still visible during the morning of the 29th of the month. Shokal Kola, he took a clod of earth, Posak Bey, and threw it toward the moon. Omar, and he said, Lu'urta bo'inon l'kedushe boch va'at kaimis hocha. This evening, I mean the night ushering in the 30th, we need to sanctify that as day one of the new month. And v'at kaimis hocha, and you are still here. In other words, the old phase is still visible. And what he's saying is that if the old phase is going to be visible that evening, Rabbi Chiya's story sees the old phase of the previous month still visible on the 29th morning hours. If you remain visible into the evening, then we won't be able to sanctify the 30th as day one, because the rule says in order for a month to be sanctified, in order for day one to be cleared as day one, you have to have the night and the following morning as part of the new month. And hence, if the old phase is still going to be visible on the night following day 29, I won't be able to fulfill that requirement of having Laila V'yoyim Shel Chodosh. Therefore, Zeal, Ichsi, go, Rabbi Chia orders the moon, and cover yourself, hide, so that the old phase won't be visible at any point during the night ushering in the 30th. Amalei Rebbe, the Rabbi Chia, Zil L'Ein Tov, V'Kadshe L'Yarcha, go to Ein Tav, it's the name of a place. If we look at Rashi, he has two pshatim, Zil the Ein Tav, V'Kadshe. Doyeg Hoya, Rebbe was concerned, Shelo Yerananu Olav B'Neiro, that the people of his city shouldn't question or murmur concerning him, Kishi Kadshenu L'Mochar, when he sanctifies it the next day, on day 30, Lefi Shero HaYeshona Kol Yoim Chavtes. And that's because the people of his community saw it all throughout day 29. V'Sileik Tlunoiso Me'olai. And by going to another community, so you'll remove their complaints against me. The second pshat that Rashi gives for why Rebbe told Reb Chia to go to another place, that in that particular location the heathens had ruled that there should be no month sanctification. So go for your own sake, your own safety, somewhere else to make the declaration. So Rebbe continues in his request of Rebbe Chia, V'shalach li simona, and send to me a sign, a message, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayom. Literally, the King David, King of Israel, is alive and well. Rashi points out that the King David, David HaMelech, was compared to the moon. So this code would serve as indication to Rebbe that Rebbe Chia had successfully sanctified the new month. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source. Pamachas niskashu shomayim ba'ovim. At one time, the skies became covered in clouds. V'nireis demus levona be'esrim v'tisha l'chodesh. And the people saw what appeared to them as a moon image on the 29th of the month. Kisvurim hoyu ha'am lomar rosh chodesh. The people thought that this represents the new month. Ubikshu based in the kacho, and the court wanted to sanctify it. Amar lohem Rabbi Gamliel, kach mekublani mibeis avi abo. Rabbi Gamliel said, "Thusly I have as a tradition from my predecessors." Same expression that we saw in the opening source of this piece of Gemara. It says that Ein Chidusha Shel Levona, the renewal of the lunar cycle, is not less Pchusa Mi Esrim V'Tisha Yom U'Mechzo Shnei Shlishi Shah V'Ayin Gimel Chalokim, that a lunar cycle is not completed in less than 29 and a half days plus 40 minutes plus 73 chalokim. Chalok is a subunit of time. So that if they are attempting to, let us say, on on day 29, claiming that the new phase has become visible, so they're wrong, because day 29 is too little time to account for the complete lunar cycle, the monthly lunar cycle. For Oiso Hayoim, and that day, Mesa Imoi Shel Ben Zoza, the mother of a gentleman known as Ben Zoza, in that community, she died, Vespido Rabbi Gamliel Hesped Godol, and Rabbi Gamliel presented a great eulogy, Lo Mipnei Shur Uyo Lekachnat, because she was deserving of such Elo, Kidei Shiedu Ha'om Shelo Kidshu Bezin Es HaChodesh, but rather, in order for the people to know that that day was not the day in which the new month was sanctified. And Rashi adds, because we don't eulogize on a festive day. Rashi says on a Yom Tov. Rosh Chodesh, according to Rashi, is being classified as a Yom Tov, as a holiday, and that the fact that he was eulogizing was indicative that this could not be Rosh Chodesh. It was, as we said before, it was too little time in which the new lunar phase could have possibly become visible. The Gemara continues with a quote from the story featured in the Mishnah, where Rabban Gamliel had ordered Rabbi Yeshua to violate his, Rabbi Yeshua's, day of Yom Kippur. Halach umotzoi Rabbi Akiva meitzar. Rabbi Akiva went to Rabbi Yeshua, and he was found upset. Ibayalo, mi meitzar. Who was upset? Rabbi Akiva meitzar or Rabbi Yeshua meitzar? Was Rabbi Akiva upset or Rabbi Yeshua the one who was upset? The more answers, Toshma, we have a source. And before we go further into this particular section of Gemara, on the side we have a nosei, the topic heading, Kviyas HaChodesh Tolui Ach V'Rak B'Hachlotas Abeisdin. The establishing of the new month is dependent exclusively on the decision of the court. So the Gemara continues, in answer to this question of who was upset, the Sanya, Rabbi Akiva umotzoi Rabbi Yeshua kishuhu meitzar. Rabbi Akiva went to Rabbi Yeshua and found him, Rabbi Yeshua, upset. Amar loy, Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi, mipnei ma ato meitzar? Why are you upset? Amar lo, Rabbi Yeshua's response, Akiva, roi loy sheyipo lemito yudbeis chodesh. It would be better for him, speaking about himself, to become bedridden for 12 months, val yigzor olov gzerozu, and not to be victim of this ruling, this edict, to have to violate his own Yom Kippur. Omar lei, so Rabbi Akiva says back, Rabbi, tarsheni loimar lefonecho dover echod shelimaditani. Allow me to teach, to say to you something that you taught me. Omar lo emor, so Rabbi Yeshua says, go ahead, say it. Omar lo harehu omer, so Rabbi Akiva says that in the psukim you find the word oisom three times. Rashi says three times the pasuk says asher tikru oisom, and the word oisom in the Torah is spelled aleph tof mem, even though in pronouncing it we read it as if there's a vav. But it's, and he, and Rashi mentions the different places that you find this in the Chumash, and we read the word oisom as atem. So he and all of this is found in Vayikra Perek Chof Gimel in Parshas Emor. So the Gemara goes on. Omar lo, Rabbi Akiva says, Hare hu oimer atem 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 shloisha pa'omim. Even though the way we're reading it, again, just so that you don't get confused, when you read this word in the Torah, you read it as oisom asher tikru oisom b'moyadom, but there are no vowels in the Torah and there's no vav in the word. So, in a drusha, we're entitled to read it different than the way we would read it in from a Torah scroll when you're reading it in the shul, in the synagogue. but the words spell out, the letters that is, spell out the word Atem. So it says Atem three times. Atem means you. That, and the, if you take it like that, the pasuk is saying Asher Tikru'u Atem, as according to the way you proclaim it, the new month and the holidays that are governed by when you declare the new month. Atem afilu shagigim, atem afilu mezidim, atem afilu muta'in. That means according to the way you proclaim it, whether you're shagigim, Rashi says, shagim elam, that on their own, they made a mistake, kisvurim shuroi lis aber v'toyin, they had figured that it's fit to be elongated, to be extended by a day, and they made a mistake. It doesn't matter. Whatever they came out with, that's what sticks. Afilu mezidin means even if they knowingly declare it when it shouldn't be declared. Whatever they declare as the new month is that which sticks. Atem afilu mutoin, Rashi says, your declaration is binding even if it's a result of witnesses that are lying. Beloshen hazeh omar lo, in the following, Rabbi Yoshua said to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva nichamtani, nichamtani. You have placated and made me feel better. You've placated my irritation and made me feel better. Nichamtani can also be translated as you have consoled me. So that upon hearing this, so Rabbi Yoshua then accepted the ruling of Rabbi Gamliel, and that the 10th of Tishrei was as Rabbi Gamliel had said, and the next day being a weekday, even though Rabbi Yeshua's original opinion was that that should be the Yom Kippur, nevertheless, it's not. Bo lo etzel Rabbi Doisa ben Hyrkanus v'chulei. Tonu Rabbonan. Here, the Gemara develops a theme that is very well known, and on the side we have a topic heading, the Nosei, where we've written Yiftach b'doro kishmuel b'doro. Yiftach, in the book of Judges, in Sefer Shoftim, in the Nach, is an individual who ended up leading the Klal Yisrael, served as a leader of the Klal Yisrael, even though he was not an individual of, we'll say, of great fame and reputation. And that's putting things mildly. Nevertheless, he was granted a miraculous victory by the Almighty, and he was then chosen to, and he was at that point chosen to be the leader of the Klal Yisrael. So the theme that is developed here is that in each generation, whoever the leader is, he deserves the honor and the authority that is deserving of a leader. Yiftach, in his generation, as the great prophet Shmuel, was a far greater individual, was an accepted leader and authority in his generation. Ein lucha elo shofet shebemecha. All that one has is the judge, the authority figure that is in his own generation. And one cannot, and this will be a point that the Gemara spells out, one cannot disavow the authority of one's leader of his generation on the grounds that, well, he's not as great as those of previous generations. The Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Lama loy nisparshu shmoisim shel zekenim halalu. Why were the 70 elders that were together with Moshe and Aaron that we saw in the pasuk cited in the Mishnah from Shmois Perek Chav Dalet, why are their names not spelled out? Sheloy yoimar odom, so that a person should not say regarding the court that rules in his time. Ploini, Moshe, and Aaron is the judge on is the are the judges of my court like the likes of Moshe and Aaron? Ploni Kenodav Aviu, are they like the great sons of Aaron? Ploni Keeldod Umedod, are they like the prophets in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu of the name who had the names Eldad and Medad? Why should I listen to the guys that are on my court? They're not as great as those figures were. So that a person should not say that. So the Torah itself preempts such a sentiment by having other judges in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, whose names are not spelled out, so that if a person should claim, well, why should I listen to my judges? They're not like Moshe and Aaron. We say back, maybe they're not like Moshe and Aaron, but maybe they're like one of the other sages that were leaders at the time of Moshe and Aaron. The Gemara continues, this source continues with more psukim that convey this point. The Oymer, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Shmuel el Om, Hashem Asher also es Moshe ves Aaron." The Oymer, "Vayishlach Hashem es Yerubal ves Bedon ves Yiftoch ves Shmuel." And here the Gemara spells out the names we just saw in the pasuk, and soon we're going to tie everything together. Yerubal ze Gidoin. Yerubal is more famously known by the name Gidon, who's one of the judges in the book of Judges. V'loma nikra shmo Yerubal. Why is he referred to by this alternative name? She'osa meriva im habal. He waged a conflict with the worshippers of the idol whose name was Baal. Bidon ze Shimshon. In the pasuk we read, we saw Bidon mentioned, where the prophet Shmuel announces, he tells the people that Hashem sent different leaders. Amongst them, he sent Yerubal, who was Gidon. He sent Bidon, and that's Shimshon, known as Samson. V'loma nikro shmoi Bidon. Why is he called by that name, the alternative name? Answer to Osim Bidon. He comes from the tribe of Don. Yiftach kemashmo. Yiftach's name in this pasuk is not changed from his well-known common name of Yiftach. And Rashi says at the bottom line, Shmuel. Rashi says the second line from the bottom toward the end of the line. The Dibur Masel V'Oimer Hashem Asher also as Moshe as Aaron. This we saw quoted in the Gemara. This was Shmuel Aleph Perik Yud Beis Pasuk Vav. Shmuel Hanavi Omar Yisrael Hakadosh Baruch Hu also Lachem Nisim. In this paragraph of this chapter of the book of Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Beis, the prophet Shmuel is holding forth, and he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrought miracles for you through six leaders. Their names, Moshe V'Aaron. Now those names we saw in Pasuk Vav, Yerubal, Uvedon, V'Yiftach, Ushmuel. And these names we see in Pasuk Yud Aleph. We continue. V'Oimer, we're at the top of Omid Beis. Moshe v'Aaron b'choyanov u'Shmuel b'korei Shemoi. Shokal ha'kosuv shloisha kalei oylam k'shloisha chamurei oylam. The Pasuk gives weight to three lightweights as to three heavyweights. Three minor individuals, relatively speaking, of course, relative to Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel, and three greats, Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel. They're given equal weight in these psukim. Rashi, at the top, V'oimer b'sefer Tehillim, Moshe v'Aaron b'chorim v'Shmuel b'korei Shmoi, korim el Hashem v'yanem. That's the pasuk in Sefer Tehillim. Hare sheshokal akosuf Shmuel im Moshe v'Aaron. We see that Shmuel is placed together with Moshe and Aaron in this pasuk. Ubiksuvim rishonim, and in the earlier psukim, kosuv Yerubal b'don v'Yiftach im Moshe v'Aaron u'Shmuel. We see that Shmuel appears with Moshe and Aaron, and with Shmuel, and with these other lesser individuals, Yerubal, B'don, and Yiftach. Shloisha Kalim im Shloisha Chamurim. Three heavyweights together with the three lighter weights, giving equal credence, equal authority to them. And the Gemara continues on the third line from the top. Loi Marloch, Yerubal Bedoro Kemoisha Bedoro, Bedon Bedoro Karon Bedoro, Yiftach Bedoro Kishmuel Bedoro. That Yerubal, we said, was Gidon in his generation, has the same authority as Moshe Rabbeinu in his generation. Shimshon in his generation is like Aaron in his generation. And Yiftach in his generation is like Shmuel in his generation. L'lamdecha, to tell us, this teaches us, Shafilu kal shebekalim v'nismana parnas ala tzibur, even the least of the least, but he's appointed as a parnas, a leader of the community. Harehu ke'abir shabirim, he is as great as the greatest. Another pasuk says, "You shall come before the kohanim and the levim and the judge in those days." In other words, the pasuk is talking for all generations. This pasuk seems to be totally superfluous. Would you think that a person would go to a judge that's not in his time? The only option a person has is to go to he who's serving as judge, as authority figure in his own time. And the Pasuk in Koheles says, don't say, oh, what about the good old days? And the Tosfos at the top explains, because of the good old days, therefore we're bound by the earlier ones and we listen to them more so than we listen to the contemporary leaders. Al tomar kach, don't say that. That all one has is the judge in his own time. The Mishnah described Rabbi Yeshua as cooperating with the Rabban Gamliel's with the ruling of Rabban Gamliel. He took his walking stick and his money in his hand on what he himself, Rabbi Yeshua, had thought to be Yom Kippur, and went to Rabban Gamliel. Tonu Rabbanan, Kevon Shiro Oisai. When Rabban Gamliel saw Rabbi Yeshua approaching, Omad Mikiso, Rabbi Gamliel rose from his chair, Vinoshkoi al Rosho, and kissed Rabbi Yeshua on his head. Omar lo Shalom Alecho Rabbi Vitamidi. Rabbi Gamliel addressed Rabbi Yeshua as saying, welcome, my teacher and my student. Rabbi Shilmadatoni Turbo Rabbim. Rabbi Gamliel acknowledges that Rabbi Yeshua is the greater scholar, and that you, Rabbi Yeshua, taught me Torah in public. The Talmidi, on the other hand, you're my student, Shani Goizer Lechagzera, that I issued a ruling concerning you, Vata Makaima Ketam, and you fulfill it as a student would fulfill it. Rabbi Gamliel again was the head of the court, and in that capacity, he had ruled what he ruled and implored upon and commanded Rabbi Yeshua to come to him. Ashrei hador shagdolim nishmoim liktanim. Fortunate is the generation that the great, like you, Rabbi Yeshua, heed the teaching or the rulings of the lesser, like myself. And we'll just initially skip the bracketed section. Mitoch shagdolim nishmoim liktanim, through that which the greater heed the words of the lesser, noisim ktanim kavachomer ba'atzmon. So the lesser will use kavachomer logic regarding themselves, that all the more so they have to listen to the rulings of the greater. Now let's reread this line again with the bracketed section. Ashrei Hador Shagdoilim Nishmaim Liktanim. Fortunate is the generation that the greater heed the words of the lesser. Kalvachomer Ktanim Lagdoilim. And all the more so, or all with all greater certainty, through Kalvachomer logic, we would say that the lesser all the more so have to listen to the words of the greater. The Gemara says, why do you refer to that as a kalvachomer? Kalvachomer chiyuvahu. That's not a kalvachomer. That's not something that you arrive at through kalvachomer logic. That's a basic obligation. Namely, that the lesser have to listen to the words of the greater. In other words, you don't activate kalvachomer logic to arrive at that point, which is basic obligation. Elo, what's the role of kalvachomer over here? Simply, mitoch shagdoilim nishmam l'tanim, through that, the people see the greater listening to the lesser, so noisim katanim kalvachomer batzmon, so internally, the lesser will understand that all the more so, they have to heed the teachings of the lesser would have to listen to the words of those who are like them. Once again, if the greater are listening to the teachings or to the rulings of the lesser, so under those circumstances, the lesser all the more so would have to listen. So that if we want to just use names, if Rabbi Yeshua is heeding the ruling of Rabbi Gamliel, so anyone who is less than that, all the more so is going to have to heed his rulings. As you can see, we've concluded the second perek of Rosh Hashanah, and with that we now turn to the new perek, the third perek. Before we learn the Mishnah, there's some markings that appear, and on the side, in character with Gemara markings, we provide a topic heading and a structural note. Triangles will appear in this Mishnah, and along with that, three Roman numerals, 1 through 3. And we've written on the side, Ra'uhu. The word Ra'u appears in the triangles. Ra'u Besdin. Besdin sees the new phase of the moon. Shalosh halachas hakshuros lebesdin atzmoi shira es hamoila. Three laws or cases that apply to a situation where the court themselves see the new lunar phase. Ech aleim lifol, how should they conduct themselves? So we have three different cases where, as we said, the court themselves are involved in the lunar sighting, as opposed to, we'll say, the standard situation of the court doesn't necessarily see, but witnesses who do see come to testify before the court of their sighting. The Mishnah. Ra'uhu Beisdin v'chol Yisrael. The court sees the new phase, and all of the people do. Nechkeru ha'edim, and the witnesses were investigated, were cross-examined. V'lo hispiku loimar mekudosh ad sheh hashecha, and the court did not issue the announcement, mekudosh, sanctified, until darkness set in. Darkness meaning the day 31 started at night. The night leading into day 31. Harei zeh mu'ubar. So the month is thereby, the previous month is thereby extended by a day, meaning a 30-day month. And the day one of the new month starts only the next day, on what would have otherwise been that which we call day 31. So what the Mishnah is describing is a situation where everything is in place as far as the lunar sighting is concerned, and the only thing that's lacking is the formal announcement, Mekudosh. The new month will have to wait one day till it begins. Ra'uhu Beisdin Bilvat. The court alone saw. The entire court saw the new face. Now, they're the only ones that saw the new face. There's no one else from the outside that's going to come to testify about the sighting. What should they do? Yamdu shnayim v'yoidu b'fnehem. Two of the court should arise and serve as the witnesses and testify in front of their other fellow judges, the Yoimru, and say Mekudosh, Mekudosh, and they, the other judges, will make say Mekudosh as is required. Ra'uhu Shloisha Vehain Beisdin. If three judges saw the new moon, Yamdu Hashnayim, two of the three shall get up, V'yoshivu Mechaveirehem Eitzel HaYochid, and they'll summon two others. Now these two others didn't see the new moon. These two others will sit together with the third Dayan that happened to have witnessed the new moon. V'yoidu B'fnehem, and two of those original three that did see it will serve as witnesses. The Yomru and the three shall say Mekudosh, Mekudosh. They shall issue the proclamation of the new month setting in. She'ein Hayochid Ne'emon Al Yedei Atzmo. That singular judge would not have been sufficient to say Mekudosh by himself. Now, we've finished the Mishnah, having given a fairly literal translation. There are a number of questions that need to be raised concerning the Mishnah, and the Gemara begins with that. And on the side, we've indicated that the topic at hand is Biru Loshana, Mishnah Loma Katoni Pratim Misuyomim. We're going to just investigate the Mishnah as to why it included certain details. Loma Li L'Mishnah, the Gemara opens. Why is it necessary to teach Ra'uhu Beisdin V'chol Yisrael? The phrase V'chol Yisrael is what is of concern to us right now. After all, the court saw the new moon. Itzderich, I need to tell you this. Salkadei techamina, I might have thought Hayil v'ra'uhu Beisdin V'chol Yisrael, since not only the court but everyone else saw the new lunar phase. A farsimo law. It's become well known that on day 30, the new phase was seen, and therefore, v'lo le'abruha. Therefore, there should be no chance, no possibility of extending the month. Komash malon, the Mishnah teaches, in fact, since they didn't say Mekudosh, the fact that everyone saw it is not enough, and the month is extended by a day. The Gemara continues, V'kevon detono le'ro beizin v'chol Yisrael. Once the Mishnah tells me that, nechgeru ho'edim lomali, why is there any necessity of cross-examining witnesses concerning something that everyone, namely the new lunar phase that everyone saw? The Gemara explains, Hochi Komar. The understanding of the Mishnah is as follows. There really are two separate cases referred to here. Inami nechguru ha'edim. You can have a situation where the court saw it, and the witnesses or you have a situation that the court had received testimony by witnesses who had seen the new phase and answered all the questions, and they checked out to be accurate, trustworthy, reliable witnesses. And the only thing that was lacking is v'lo ispiku lomar mekudosh ad shechashecha, and the court didn't make the announcement of mekudosh until the night of the 31st fell, it kicked in. Harei ze mu'ubar. The month is thereby extended by a day. so that even though everything is in place, there are two cases then that are referred to by the opening of the Mishnah. One case is where the court, as well as all of the people, saw the new lunar phase, and they simply didn't mention Mekudosh during day 30 until the night of 31 kicked in. Or a case where the court had received testimony of reliable witnesses, and all that was lacking was the Mekudosh announcement, which wasn't made until day 31 kicked in. In both of those scenarios, so the previous month is a 30-day month, which we call Me'ubar. V'kevon, the Gemara continues, V'kevon detona ad shechashecha hareze Me'ubar. Once you teach me that the lack of the announcement of Mekudosh until darkness of the 31st sets in, Lomo li lemisne chakiras ho'edim klal. Let's look at Rashi to appreciate this question. Lomo li lemisne lechakiras lechakira klal. Kevon dashminen. Once you teach me in the Mishnah, the chira'u beizin v'chol Yisrael, that once the court and all of the people see it, afilu hachim abrinle, even with that, we extend the month simply because of the lack of Mekudosh being mentioned on day 30. Kol shekein nechkuru ha'edim, all the more so in the case of the witnesses having been cross-examined, we will extend the month because Mekudosh wasn't mentioned on time. Itzterich. So Gemara answers, no, I need to tell you that case as well of Chakira Sa'edim. Salkadaita Chamina. I would have thought Tehevei Chakiras Edim Ketchilas Din. Let us consider the cross-examination of the witnesses as the beginning of a judgment. And there's certain rules. The Gemara is going to make reference immediately to rules concerning standard legal cases. And as such, why not consider the cross-examination of the witnesses as the beginning of a case? Umekudosh Mekudosh kigmar din. And the formal announcement of Mekudosh like the end of the case, the ruling, the verdict. Veliktashi belelia. And let the new month be announced on that night. In other words, that would only be final statement of the case that began on time, that began on day 30. And let the sanctification of day that's mentioned, day 31, be a legitimate sanctification for day 30 to being considered day number 1 of the new month. We skip the brackets for a moment. Komash Malon, so our Mishnah tells us not so. We're not going to look at things like that. Namely, we're not going to look at it as Chakira Seding being the beginning of the case and Mekudosh Mekudosh being the end of the case, and thereby accepting the sanctification of the night. Now let's go over the brackets, because in the brackets we have background for this kind of thinking. This idea of Tchilas Hadin and Gemar Din and how it affects other legal cases. The Gemara says in the brackets, Midi Dahavi Adine Momenus, similar to the way we treat other monetary judgments. Disnan, the Mishnah says in Masechah Sanhedrin, Dine Momenus Donin Beyoim V'gomrim Balayla. Court cases involving monetary matters can have their beginning by day. Beginning of cases must take place by day, and there are Rashi quotes the Pasuk that points that out, so that the beginning must take place by day. However, V'gomrim Balayla, the end can take place even at night. Haha nami mekachin balayla. And with that analogy in mind, let us say over here too, let sanctification of the new month take place at night, namely the night following day 30. That as long as they began the case on day 30, day 30 can become sanctified, even if the sanctification announcement is done at night, the night following that day 30. Komash Molon, our Mishnah tells us, not so. We're not going to make this parallel. The Gemara asks, V'yema hochinami, the Gemara says, like, why not? Say in fact thusly. The Gemara says, no, you can't. Omar Kraw. The Pasuk says, and now we're going to cite a Pasuk that is related to the issue of declaring new months. And the Pasuk says, Ki chayik l'Yisrael hu mishpat le'lekei yankif. Amos have a chayik. When is something considered a chok? A chok is a law. Begemar din. Only once the ruling is issued, the verdict is in, the gemar din, the end of the case, the end of the judgment, at that point something can be called a chok, a law. Vekakari le rachmono mishpat. And regarding the establishment of the new month, because that's the context of this pasuk, it uses the term mishpat. Now the term mishpat, Rashi points out, means beginning of case. Ma mishpat bayom, just like in general court cases begin by day, af hocha nami bayom, so too here regarding the gemar din, which is represented by the kiddush HaChodesh, by the Mikudesh Mikudesh, must be by day. So when it comes to the issue of Kiddush HaChodesh, the end has to be like the beginning. Just like the beginning has to be by day. And as we said, there's a pasuk that indicates that. The Rashi quotes Mishpat Bayom is V'hoya Biyom Anchilo Ezbonov, which means by day, daytime, so to the end of Kiddush HaChodesh, which is the point at which Mekudesh HaMekudesh is announced, that too must be by day. Unlike standard Dine Momentus, where even though the case begins by day, the end, the verdict can be issued at night. Ra'u Beis Din Yamdu Shnayim V'yo'idu Bifnehem. The Mishnah described a case where the entire court, which is made of a number of judges, they all saw the new moon, the new lunar phase. The Mishnah said two of them must get up and testify. V'amai, why should two have to get up and testify? Lo te shmiya gedoyla miriya. Hearing testimony should be no more significant than their actual sighting, which they did. Omar Rabbi Zera explains, Kagoin Shiro'uhu Balaila. The case in the mission is that the entire court saw it, but they saw it by night. They saw it at nighttime. That's when they saw the new lunar phase. And as such, the nighttime is not a time that rulings can be made. In fact, we saw that just in the previous section of Gemara. So since rulings cannot be made by at nighttime, therefore, without testimony, there's no value in their having seen it. The idea of Lo te shmiya gedol miriya, that the sighting itself is not any less than their saying testimony, that is true if their sighting had been by day, so that in itself serves as not any less than standard testimony. But being that the sighting took place at night, and that a nighttime is not a time for judgments, for rulings to be made, therefore they have to have a formal testimony made by day. Ra'uhu shlosha v'hein beizdin. Yamdu shnayim v'yoshivu mechavereyim etzel hayochid. Three of the judges have been the ones to see the new lunar phase. Two of them get up to testify, and the third one is to be joined by two others to serve as the court. Amai, why is this necessary? Hochonami, here too, Neymar, say as we said before, Lo Te Shmir Gedolomira. You have three judges that saw the new lunar phase. Why is there any necessity of having further testimony made by two of them? The Chitema, if you want to say, Hochinami Kidon Shruba Laila, that this section of the Mishnah as well is talking about a case where they had seen it at night. Well, then, Hainu Hach, then it's simply the same as the second case of the Mishnah. Then it's redundant. The Gemara says, Seifa, it's the Richale. The case featured here in the third section of the Mishnah is necessary. Di'ein hayochid ne'mon al yedei atzmoi. Namely, that the individual, the one judge, cannot be the one to by himself say Mekudesh. The Salkadaita Chamina, Hoyo Vitanya, since it was taught, Dine Momenus Bishloisha, money matters can be judged by, are judged by three, Vim Hoyo Mumche L'Rabim Don Afilu Biyochid, and if he's an expert in monetary cases, he can serve as an individual judge. He can judge cases by himself. Hochonami, same thing, maybe, we should apply to the case of Kiddush HaChodesh, Nikdashay Biyochid. Let the new month be declared sanctified by one. So that, granted, I have three judges that saw it by day. Or let's say they saw it by night. I cannot have them testify in front of the individual and rely upon his announcement of Mekudosh. Hochinami, we thought maybe we should be able to rely on him like we have the we see by Dine Momenus. Komash Malon, so we're telling you no, the individual judge is not sufficient to make the Mekudesh announcement. The aim of Hochinami, we saw this style in the Gemara just before. Well, so maybe why not say yeah that could work, just like we find by Dine Momenus, an individual can issue a ruling. So too, let the individual judge be the one to say Mekudosh. So the Gemara answers, we can't allow it here. There's no greater expert than Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And the Almighty told Moshe, there's no sanctification until you are accompanied by Aaron. And Tosfos adds a concept that courts cannot be of an even number. Two is an equal number, an even number, so you have to add a third person. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, look, it's not enough for you to announce the new month. You'll have to have Aaron, but in addition to Aaron, you're going to have a third person as well. Dichtiv, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu announced, or addressed Moshe and Aaron with regard to establishing new months. Before we proceed with the Gemara, we glance at the side under our Noseh, our topic heading. HaGemara Dona B'She'ela, the Gemara will deal with a question. Ha'im Eid Na'asedayon. An Eid is a witness. Can someone who has the potential of serving as a witness become the judge? Rashi says, commenting on this opening line of Gemara, Lememro de'edna sedayan, Misha roilios aid badavar, someone who is fit to be a witness concerning a particular matter, na sedayan, himself become a judge. The elu kulon ruim lios aidim, shari kulam ra'u. In our Mishnah, we have the judges who all of them saw the new lunar phase, and we see two of them getting up after having qualified, we'll say, as witnesses. Two of them get up, and the others, the other judges that also saw the moon, remain seated there to accept the testimony of their friends, that the two of them that saw it. But the rest of them also could have served as witnesses. So we're seeing a fulfillment of this, and this is an issue that is the subject of controversy elsewhere in the Shas. So let's continue with the Gemara on this topic. Lemeimra de'eid na'aseh dayan. Should we conclude from what we've learned in our Mishnah? I think particularly the second case of the Mishnah where the entire court saw the new phase. And other than two of them, the others remain seated in the Dayan capacity. So it seems then that aid na'aseh dayan. Lemo mas nisin delo kribi kiva. Then shall we suggest that our Mishnah is not in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva? Desanyo, now we present to you a source in which we see Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Sanhedrin shiro echot shoragas anefesh. The court of 23, or which is called the Sanhedrin, a Sanhedrin Ketana. They you need them. You need 23 judges in order to prosecute a case of a capital offense. So if a Sanhedrin, a court that saw someone commit a murder, so they have the entire court witness the murder. Miktsasa nasu edim u'miktsasa nasu dayonim, divrei Rabbi Tarfon. Some of them will serve as witnesses, and the others can serve as judges. That's Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. Rabbi Akiva omer kulon nasin edin. All of them are witnesses. They cannot judge the case. They can only serve as witnesses. V'ein erid na'aseh dayan. He who was witness cannot be one to judge. Well, so you have a pretty clear statement on the part of Rabbi Akiva that if you witness something, you cannot serve as a judge regarding that matter. The Gemara responds, Afilu Temo Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah can in fact be in accordance with Rabbi Akiva as well. Ad kan lo kom Rabbi Akiva hosam elo bedine nefoshes. Rabbi Akiva's comment that if you're a witness, you cannot serve to judge the case, that's only with regard to a capital offense, like the case of murder. The Rachmona Omar, the Torah commands that when it comes to capital offenses, v'shoftu ha'eda v'hitzilu ha'eda, from which we learn that the judges must be capable of seeking innocence. In order, they have to have the ability to, through their questioning and through their investigation, to conclude innocence. But geva de chazyu de kota nafsha. But if you have an entire court that saw someone receive a warning not to commit the murder and went ahead and in a premeditated fashion went ahead and committed the murder anyway, they who saw the whole thing, they're not going to be able to seek out a ruling of innocence for him. And that disqualifies them as serving as judges, because a judge must have the capacity in the case that he's judging to seek out innocence, at least the potential for seeking out innocence. So that is why Rabbi Akiva said in the capital case where the court witnessed a murder and the penalty for that is the death penalty, they cannot serve as judges. So under those circumstances, Rabbi Akiva said, "Ein aid nasadayin aval hocha." But here, in the case of Kiddush HaChodesh, where there's no issue of seeking out innocence per se, afilu Rabbi Akiva moida, even Rabbi Akiva can agree that the court, that witness that saw the new lunar phase, they can, on the next day, those who had seen it the night before, can remain seated as judges to proclaim Mekudosh. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you're interested in being in touch with us, especially in the interest of accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.